never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants. I got news for you, pal. You ain't leading but two things right now. Jack and shit. Jack left town.
I can't use Kung Fu for about 3 months.
Because if this one doesn't scare you, you're already dead. From the gates of hell, they have finally come.
Chartreuse! The only liquor so good they named it Brother after it.
I'm telling you straight. It's my way or the highway. So anybody wants to walk, do it now.
You kids shouldn't play so rough. Somebody's gonna start crying.
We've got entirely too many troublemakers here.
They use the satanic power of their bodies to turn men and women into their blood slaves.
I will never forgive your ass for this shit. This is some fucked up Republican shit.
Bruce Lee is gone. From the gates of hell, they have finally come.
Never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Oh, my poor darling. Can you forgive me for having brought you to this terrible place?
Of course, Mom.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy? Or are you going to bite?
Dana.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hi.
So we checked out a Blu-ray I've had for quite a while. I don't know how long. I've had it, a couple months. Probably since, I think it came out maybe early November or late October. Prince of Darkness on Screen Factory Blu-ray.
For some reason, I thought it was before then.
Maybe it was. I've got a few DVD Blu-rays I haven't watched yet. But we picked last night to watch it, and of course, it's a really fun movie to watch because of the, you know, just everything. The atmosphere is really good, and I don't know, everything's awesome about this movie. It's one of the ones that doesn't get spoken about very often. I saw this in the theater when I was
young. I didn't get to see it in the theater.
It was awesome.
I guess I saw it on VHS.
Well, I mean, I was in the Army, so I just happened to go by the theater and see it. So, first, we can talk about the transfer.
Which was phenomenal. I guess we have to give credit to Screen Factory for, or Shout Factory, or whatever you want to call them, for putting this transfer out. It's one of the best looking transfers I've seen in a while.
And also the audio. I had it turned up real loud. And then
Steve had it turned up to like 60 something, I think.
Wow. And then, I mean, of course, the John Carpenter score is really good. Mm-hmm. It's a bunch of stuff. Especially, I like the last theme a lot. And, I mean, that really is a sets the mood for the creepiness. I guess it's kind of like the devil. I don't know. It's like
he's trying to get back into...
Yeah, our realm, our reality.
I guess he's going from hell to try to...
I don't know, it's almost like he's in a different dimension or something.
Yeah, because they go through mirrors. And
yeah, but I mean, it's a really cool movie.
And I forgot how creepy a lot of the stuff was. I was like, this kind of...
They got some good practical effects. The one chick that gets possessed basically is meaty and bloody, and that's her real... And her eyes look really white and big.
And you can cut her arm off and it grows back and...
Her head, too, right?
Donald Pleasance's character, the priest, they just call him the priest. He doesn't have any specific name. But he cuts her head off, and she just picks it up and puts it back on, kind of shifts it a little bit.
Yeah.
It's weird.
But, anyway, I mean, also, the extras are pretty cool. I watched the interview with John Carpenter, and he, this was kind of a low-budget movie, and he had full control over it, which, you know, when he has full control over it, you can see that
He became disenchanted with Hollywood, basically, is why he went back and tried to do his own thing again.
Well, he did good. I think he did the low-budget movies was this and They Live, right?
I think so.
So, you know, so that right there tells you something.
And I know Steve didn't watch this yet, but I did watch the Alice Cooper interview, which was entertaining. And Horror's Hallowed Grounds with Sean Clark, which are all, those are always entertaining.
I watched a little bit. I liked at the beginning where he's coming out. They had during the movie, there's like everybody in it has the same dream.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically some kind of broadcast from the future.
Warning them
from like the year 1999.
Yeah.
And at the Hollow Ground, he recreates that. I think that's pretty funny because he goes to the same church.
And the credits for Horace Hallowed Grounds for that particular installment go on almost the entire length of his segment, which is a nod to Prince of Darkness.
Yeah.
For anybody that's seen it, they know that the credits go on for like approximately 9 minutes or so.
Well, he was saying that he did, his thing on this one was not to do any like sharp cuts.
Yeah. He said like,
I forgot what he was saying. He was saying basically there's like something called something Russian where you can create, no matter what's going on the screen, if you do some rapid cuts, that will create use that to create excitement.
But he didn't want to do that.
No, he didn't have to. He lingers, and the music and the visuals, those combinations.
And the mood. I mean,
well, that,
the
visuals creates the mood, and everything is giving you a very creepy and dire feel to it. So,
but I think I agree with what John Carpenter said in the interview. He was talking about a lot of movies now.
Right.
Are quick cuts, and I hate that. I hate quick cuts. They have started doing that in almost every horror movie now. It's just like something is in your face, and then it cuts to something else. I would like a slow build, and I think John Carpenter does that. Like Steve said, he lingers and creates.
Well, his most recent movie was not like that at all. I didn't like it at all.
The Ward.
Yeah, I didn't care for that. That didn't have any of his
tradition. Didn't feel like a John Carpenter movie at all.
No, I don't know if he just did that for hire and he didn't really care. It didn't feel, you couldn't tell who directed it like
no,
you can.
It was almost like a generic.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying I hated it. I kind of liked the storyline.
But it
definitely was not a John Carpenter film, and it wouldn't be one that I would pull out as my top favorite John Carpenter films. That would have to be things like Prince of Darkness and Halloween and Wes Would Kill Me. But I'd even put In the Mouth of Madness in there somewhere.
But then Dana had some stuff to do, so I kind of watched some movies on my own. Watched a French movie from 97 called Doberman, and it was a crazy action film from France. And it's got Vincent Castile and Monica Bellucci in it, and it's a very cool movie. It's very influenced by the Hong Kong movies of the early 90s. So, but I it's a lot of over-top stuff.
I didn't know. I saw parts of it, but maybe because I wasn't sitting down and watching it and giving it my full attention, I couldn't get anything out of it. I kept asking Steve questions about it.
But I dug it. I think I watched it on like a VHS, 10 years ago or something, but it was in HD and it looked really good. I mean, it didn't look as good as Prince of Darkness, of course, but it looked decent, and the audio was great. So then after that, I've been wanting to watch Cold Prairie 2, a Norwegian
part
slasher.
Of your winter theme.
Yeah, that's one of the parts 1 and 2 of Cold Prairie. Are decent winter horror movies. This one's a sequel, and it, like I was telling Dana, it's kind of a most of it takes place in a hospital. It's kind of an homage to Halloween 2. I liked it, but I forgot the ending. The ending's pretty definite, so I guess that's why they had to go there and do a prequel next. But I liked it, and I wish they had kind of kept the series going, but I guess they kind of ended it that way. But I really liked that one and the first one. And then we're trying to find something now to watch. We were going to watch Blood Tracks, but Dana said she watched it with me, and plus the DVD that I have looks like the VHS rip down to the freaking four subtitles of some Asian language.
And you can't get it to go to the menu.
No, I don't think there is a menu. I mean, I'm really upset now, but anyway.
Well, you spend all that time, you know, waiting on it. And
oh, well.
It's not,
and
not what you thought.
Yeah, but I mean, it's that kind of movie I'm not too upset about. But I think we'll probably watch a Blue, because get all the Blues, all the recent Blu-ray purchases viewed, so I don't feel like a dummy for having Blu-rays I haven't watched yet.
Well, I have comedy ones, but Steve probably don't want to watch those.
We can watch Beach Girls on Blu-ray.
I think that would be more for Steve, though.
Yeah, it's got boobies.
Well, anything that's got boobies is for Steve.
Yeah. Dana likes boobies, too.
No, I don't.
Oh.
I don't get excited over them.
No.
You don't hear me make, well, I can't say everything Steve says.
Good.
But if you're a man, you will understand.
But we'll find something and we'll be right back.
Bye.
Boobies. Who slew Auntie Lou is the whisper of death that stalks along shadowed corridors.
Won't everybody leave me all alone? Hey, Aunt Boo will be so lonely. Don't leave me. No! No!
You can't stay here. Aunt Rue is a witch.
Home, sweet home, where creatures stalk the darkness, where fearful illusion ends and frightful reality begins. Say goodnight to Auntie Rue, kiddies. It's dead time. Don't miss Shelley Winters, Mark Lester, and Ralph Richardson, who will never tell, and the teddy bear who knew. Who slew Auntie Rue? Who slew Auntie Rue? Who slew Auntie Rue? In color, rated GP.
Record Bruce eating, he's crunching.
So we ventured outside, and I took Dana to go see a new movie. Dana, what was that?
Devil's Do, which we've heard conflicting things about from people that had seen it, I guess, opening night. We decided to go on a Sunday. There weren't many people in the movie theater, and four of said people in the theater with us left before the movie was over. Now, most people are going to take that as an indication that it was a lousy movie, which is one half of the reviews we've heard. But I have to disagree. We'll hear from Steve here in a second. But I told him I wanted to talk about this while it was fresh in my mind. Number one, I couldn't believe people left the movie theater. Because the movie was not that bad. It was a decent movie. Was it a great, fantastic, groundbreaking movie? No. But it was a decent movie. It was worth a watch. I'm not sure if it'll be one that I'll buy when it comes out. Steve and I kind of discussed that, and they talk like it wasn't one that he was going to see again. But it didn't piss me off at the end. Like I was telling Steve about The Last Exorcism, which he likes. But I thought The Last Exorcism was the biggest cop-out ending ever. And that's what pissed me off. Not that it was a bad movie, just that they cheated you by copping out at the end. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you need to watch that movie. But anyway, Devil's Due was pretty decent movie. Had a few scares in it. Not abundant scares, not like every 5 seconds. One thing I really did like about this is it kind of went, in my opinion, it went back to old school filmmaking, which is, it didn't have all these, like I call MTV quick cuts, you know, something in your face all the time. It would build up to something and then something would happen. Another thing I heard people complain about this movie was that it didn't make sense and it had no ending. Okay, I'm not going to give it away, but if you watch the film, it does have an ending, and it does make sense. Now, Steve told me there were a few things that didn't really make sense in the found footage aspect of it.
Can I talk?
Yeah.
It sucked!
You didn't tell me it sucked on the way home.
It's mediocre, so, I mean, I don't have time for mediocre. And to pay for, there's things in here that don't make sense. I mean, of course, it's supernatural.
Just in the found footage aspect.
Yeah. So, I mean, Blair Witch makes sense. They found the footage. Last Exorcism, they had a crew that were following that. You know, he's a fake priest and stuff like that. So there's reasons. And this one, they're like every excuse in the world. Oh, I got a fucking little camera I'm going to wear on my shirt. And then there's certain parts of it where there's hidden cameras that no one knows about except these certain people. And how in the hell it doesn't tell you how any of this footage was found. It's really not a found footage because no one knows how it didn't
okay,
say it was found. It just says, it just starts playing.
Okay, so who said this was a found footage film?
It is a fucking found footage film. It's the only thing you could say it was because it's footage that somebody recorded.
I know, but I don't
think...
But there's
no idea why it's being shown.
That was the main crux of the film because it starts out with the cops questioning the husband.
What?
If
this movie was not a found footage movie, it would be a completely different story. But when you say you have footage and everybody's recording shit, and you have no explanation of why this footage is being...
Yeah, but there was never anything that the cops did not say we found footage.
Right, that's even worse. Because now we're watching footage... And we have no idea where it came from. Because there's no little message saying, hey, we found this footage, case number so-and-so. There's just none of that. So it's basically, it just almost magically appears on your screen, and we have to take it for granted. And it's edited in a way from different sources, and it doesn't, I mean,
well,
I don't know why they went the route of found footage.
Well, I'm not saying they did because nobody ever said, hey, this is a found footage.
That's right. That's a problem.
That might have been insinuated. Okay, would you have liked it better if there was never any insinuation that it was a found footage film?
I don't know. I don't think I would, but I mean, that's just one of the flaws.
If it had just been a straightforward film and you were just seeing this stuff
happen. This is just like a short porn movie. You got all this built. Whoa. Mm-hmm.
A short porn movie.
Well, an exploitation movie. This is an exploitation movie because it's just showing, it's all this build up. You got a little bit here and there, and then they have the money shot at the end, and that's it.
I thought it was what people call a slow burn or a slow build, and then it had a few jumps in there.
I didn't have any jumps. I'll agree with people who said nothing about this movie was scary.
I'm not saying it was all out scary. It was interesting.
I mean, I like
stuff. The Conjuring was scary.
I mean, I didn't find anything scary in the lacks exorcism. I just like the way it was. I mean, I like the story, and I also liked how it turned out, which you don't like.
Yeah, I just felt cheated.
I liked the Blair Witch Project, and at the end,
I liked the Blair Witch Project. It scared me.
It rocked you because of some. You know, at the very ending part.
Well, a lot of people didn't understand the end of the Blair Witch Project.
Well, I mean, I understood it.
Yeah, because you paid attention to the film. I think what happened with Devil's Due is people were not. They lost interest in the film somewhere in the middle, and they didn't pay. They weren't paying attention. They weren't stupid. They just lost interest early on and said, "Well, this is bullshit. I'm not going to pay attention to the rest of it." Therefore, by the time they got to the end, nothing made sense to them. You see what I'm saying? I paid attention to the whole film. I gave it a chance.
Yeah.
And I was satisfied. I'll say I was
satisfied. I want a divorce, Dana.
Steve. I just lying.
No, I got the papers. But no, I just don't. I mean, it's nothing like it was the worst movie ever. You know, there's plenty of movies that are just horrible. But this one just, there's nothing here that it's just like one and done. There's no need for anybody to watch this movie again.
Okay, well, I didn't feel like... Okay, when I went to see the Evil Dead remake, okay, just let me say this, Steve. I felt like I had been raped or assaulted visually.
Oh.
And I felt like, I don't remember who paid for the tickets, probably Steve. But whoever paid for it, I felt like they got ripped off financially. And so, I didn't feel that way with this movie. Although Steve may have, you know, because he paid for our tickets this time.
If the Evil Dead was called anything but Evil Dead, it would have been a marginal pass from you, and you know it.
Okay.
But
I probably still wouldn't have cared for it that much as a film. What really pisses me off is it was called The Evil Dead, and it was supported by the original... creators of the Evil Dead, including Bruce Campbell.
Well,
and all those guys I have great respect for, but I don't know why they acted like it was such a great film.
Well, a lot. I mean,
it just basically bastardized the film that they had made.
I thought it was okay, and you know, I'll be honest. I've watched that twice, and I have no desire to ever see this one again. Devil's Due. Just don't.
I think those types of films, though, like, I don't think I've watched Paranormal Activity, the original Paranormal
Activity. I've watched
Activity
that first one once or twice.
I think I watched it one time.
But I won't watch any of the other.
I didn't watch any of the others.
I mean, I have watched the others. I haven't watched part four. I thought part three was really good. I liked it. I think it's part three.
I don't know because I haven't
yeah, well, it was part three. So, and I don't know. I heard four wasn't no good, but I haven't seen it yet. But there's something about those for whatever reason. Maybe it's because they do explain a little bit why they're recording. I mean, of course, there's some weird stuff like somebody in the 80s has got a camera that does widescreen and it's a, you know, decent quality, so I mean that stuff didn't make sense, but in the grand scheme of things, we got an idea, you know, that's a movie.
I think you're always going to have something that doesn't logically make sense. You can't hold it against the entire film because one little.
I'm not holding. I'm holding it for. I just don't think it was an interesting story.
Okay, that's cool.
It is cool. It's cool. Just like Fonzie. It's cool. Right?
Yeah.
Go be a little Fonzie?
Yeah.
All right. So, well, anyway, we also watched a movie that was awesome last night, right? Called Rape. it was Rape from 1978. What do you think about Rape, Dana? What's your opinion on Rape?
That was the first part of this film, like the first 10 or so minutes. Yeah.
They had a guy walking around asking people what their opinion of rape was. And you're going to have somebody goes, I'm against it. And then there was another guy, I'm for it. But, I mean, I don't know what the hell. Most people didn't answer him. I guess this is real.
If you want to watch the most sexist film against women that I've ever seen. This would be it. Yeah. Forget, you know, I Spit on Your Grave. Last House on the Left or House on the Edge of the Park or whatever.
This is my kind of movie, Dana.
I don't think it was Steve's kind of movie because he turned it off after, like...
It's an hour of rape. This is not like graphic rape. It's not graphic, but I mean, still.
It was repeated rape scenes.
Yeah, I don't know what the point of it was. I thought there was going to be some type of revenge. Or there was some kind of court case. It's a great court case because it's like, you went out, you were outside. Well, you went outside. You were looking for a man.
Your tie was showing in your dress. Yeah.
A parking building, and your thigh was showing.
She was leaning back to get something out of her car.
So you invited this guy to rape you. Mm-hmm. Or, it was a sex. So, I mean, to watch this is because of how outrageous the viewpoint is.
Yeah, but after, you know, I don't know how far we got into
it. It got about 45
minutes or an hour, and it didn't seem like there was ever going to be any resolution. These women weren't going to come together and get revenge on these men or anything, and I was Steve, I can't watch it anymore.
Yeah, we don't know what happened, but, you know.
Perhaps we'll revisit it.
I think this movie pretty much wins the title of the most appropriate name of a movie. It was rape.
Well, other than Pieces. You know how Pieces says it's exactly what you think it is?
Well,
this is exactly what the title says it is rape. That's right. All it is.
And, of course, this is I think it's an Italian movie. Of course, any good sleaze is from Italian.
That's what I would call it.
So we're looking for a movie to watch. I'm not sure if Dana's going to watch anything with me, but we'll see.
We want to talk about that other one after we watched the completed version of it?
Well, no, because I didn't finish it, neither did you, so.
No, I know, but do we want to talk about it, like, after we watch it? And we'll eventually watch the rest of
it. Yeah, we'll watch it one of these days. Not right now.
That'll be a surprise thing for...
I think I want to watch a giallo, and I got one I bought a long time ago and never watched it all the way through. It's called My Dear Killer. Maybe we'll watch that.
I think I had that. I think I've seen that at least once.
But we'll see. We'll be back after this.
Bye.
Rape!
A minor offense.
What do you think about rape?
I don't think about it at all.
But you must have an opinion.
Well, in my opinion, it's just a big joke.
Thank you, miss. What do you think about rape?
I've never been raped. In any case, I'm against it.
Thank you. Would you mind telling us what you think about rape?
Oh, it's horrible.
And why?
It's a crime, mister.
Excuse me, sir. What do you think about rape?
Rape? Oh,
yeah?
I'm not farting anything. No, sir.
What do you think about rape, sir?
What?
What's your opinion?
Well,
excuse me. What do you think about rape, sir?
Well, comment.
From the creator of Halloween and the star of The Exorcist, Linda Blair in Hell Night. Garth Manor, where the unseen, the unspeakable, hides its terror in cobwebbed corridors. Linda Blair, Vincent Van Patten, and Peter Barton in Hell Night. From Compass International, rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
I can talk about Nightmare at Shadow Woods.
Well, I don't want to hear that.
Why?
I'm just kidding.
I watched that last night.
So, we watched a giallo called My Dear Killer.
Yeah.
It was kind of, I don't know, most of these are kind of convoluted and stuff, but...
They're complicated.
Yeah, they are.
Like some people's relationships.
Not like ours.
No. Ours is very simple. Some other people's are very complicated.
But I don't know if I really like this one or not, but it's okay.
I found my DVD of it, by the way.
Well, now we got two.
Well, I'm not getting rid of mine. Well,
you can keep it. And I think I watched a really cool movie that Dana didn't watch much of it, if any. It was called...
Remember you watching it.
Once Upon a Time in China and America... with Jet Li from 1997. This is Of course, he made a series of movies by the title Once Upon a Time in China, Wei Fu Wong. I can't remember. I think that's the character's name. He's in a bunch of movies in China.
This is before everybody got mad at him because he was in American movies.
Yeah, well. But the character goes back way back to the beginning of the film industry in China. So there's tons of movies. But this one was... these movies are mainly known for their acrobatics and wire work and stuff like that. And it was pretty cool.
Is this the one where the guy lost his memory?
Yeah. Jet Li loses his memory and he gets taken in by some Indians and he kind of lives with them for a while it's a good 2-hour movie and it's got a lot of stuff
it was
going on.
It was comedic at some point.
Oh yeah, and it had very good fight scenes and stuff. And I think that was his last movie of the series. I think there might have been one or two more of the entries, but. It was really cool seeing it.
You've had some DVDs of these, too.
Yeah, I have a few. Not much. This is the first one, and I have a DVD of this one, too. Mm-hmm. Then me and Dana watched one called, I think it's from the late 70s, called Immortality in English.
I had never heard of it before.
I haven't either, but I read about it, and... it's kind of I think me and Dana, like...
There's one scene
yes.
that I felt very uncomfortable watching. We'll just put it that way.
The movie starts where this guy's digging a grave and he throws this young girl in it and starts burying her.
I missed that part.
And then he's a child murderer and he's on the run and he ends up in this shack on somebody's land and the daughter finds him there and she wants to take care of him and she also likes turtles
and birds
she wants some birds but
she has this gigantic outdoor bird cage
and then also there's the mom's
a whore.
Mom's an older lady who doesn't like anybody, who hates her, who just wishes her husband Mel Ferrier dies so she can get the money.
Yeah, she's just one of those whores that marries older sick men so they hope they'll die and they can get their money.
Well, not to spoil the movie, but I'm guaranteeing like 98% of the people out there are never going to see this. So there's like a relationship and jealousy between the little girl
and her stepmom.
And her mother. I think it's her real mother. I don't know. But her mother and the killer kind of get together for a little bit. Then at one point, she wants to have sex with the killer in the bathroom floor, and she lays down nude, and he does it. But obviously, when you watch it... It's not the little girl. The little girl is a little girl. They actually show her boobies, but she's got like little bitty... I don't know,
it's pre-development stages. But I still couldn't believe that I was seeing that. But it's obvious that when the sexual act is supposed to happen, that it's a woman's legs and woman's body.
Well, one thing, the little girl is like really pale, and then the double has tan marks.
Yeah.
So this is weird.
But the whole idea behind it made me uncomfortable.
It is kind of shocking, but of course I wouldn't put anything by the Italians of the 70s. They always show so many crazy things, but this is probably one of the more crazy ones. But if you take that away from the movie, there's really not a whole lot else that's that exploitive. I mean, it's okay, but
it had a little bit of a twist at the end.
Yeah, I mean, there was something at the end. It was, you know,
unexpected, I guess.
I don't know. I kind of expected a little bit, but anyway, so that's a little strange one and probably obscure that nobody will find. And I've been wanting to watch this one movie for a little bit. It was Three the Hard Way with Jim Brown, Fred Williamson, and Jim Kelly. And I think, did you watch most of it, Dana?
Yeah, I guess it was extreme blaxploitation.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's just...
Cause there were these, like, rich, really super rich white people that were, like, white supremacists or something, and they wanted to, like, take on all the black people, and they kidnapped that one guy's girlfriend, didn't they?
Well, their major plan was to, they create some
they
kind of...
the world of black people.
Yeah. They find some kind of drug they're going to add to the water supply, and they got, and it only affects black people and kills them. And so they were like really happy that this time they're going to, you know, all the black people will be dead. And they put it in like Washington, D.C., Detroit, and Chicago. And they're going to poison the water. But Jim Brown and Fred Williamson and Jim Kelly pretty much
take them all on
and retrieve all those canisters. And then they go back and whoop those white people's asses.
I thought that was pretty cool.
So, I mean, it's
they got their revenge on those stupid white people, stupid rich white people.
Yeah, so it was a pretty fun movie to watch. So, I think it, okay, here we go.
Well, I could talk about a couple of them that I've watched by myself after Steve goes to bed. I usually watch.
It's Dana After Dark.
Yeah, it's Dana After Dark. It gets extreme after dark, so. I watched, well, actually there were three different things that I ended up watching over three different nights. I watched Terror at Ten Killer, which I don't know if Steve's ever seen that or not.
I've seen it, but I don't remember crap about it.
Well, you don't really have to remember crap about it because, I mean, it's very, very low budget. I actually have it on a double feature disc with The Last Slumber Party, which I'm going to talk about here in a second. But the basic storyline, if you can call it a storyline, is these two chicks leave college and go to the lake where this one girl's been going every summer for the last several years. Or she went to this cabin or something with her dad. But anyway, it's also one of those cases where the people are a lot older than they're playing. I mean, the one chick looked like she was at least in her late 30s. But anyway, they go to this cabin and get jobs at the local diner, and there's somebody that's killing off women, which they don't keep it a secret at all. Which was surprising because usually they try to keep the killer a secret, but they didn't try to put a mask on this guy or anything. So if you want to watch it and you like cheesy movies, you might get some entertainment out of that. The other one I watched was The Last Slumber Party by B&S Productions, and it's got music by First Strike. If you can find any music by these people, I can't really find anything on YouTube or anything. But this one is, in my opinion, even more low budget than Terror at Ten Killer, because they obviously don't try to correct any mistakes that were made in this movie. The acting is pretty atrocious in it. The one girl obviously forgets her lines near the beginning of the film and just covers her mouth and kind of giggles, and the other girl has to feed her lines. Another scene, she goes to close the window, or she's looking out the window or something, and she brings her head back in and she knocks the hell out of her head. And she tries to go on and act like, you know, nothing happened. But obviously either they didn't have the money to go back and correct these mistakes in the film, or they just didn't care. But again, if you want to watch a really super cheesy, low-budget, slumber party massacre-type film with a little bit of a twist in it, then you might, you know, give an hour and 27 minutes or so to this movie. And the movie I watched last night, again, Steve did not watch with me. It's Nightmare at Shadow Woods,
a.k.a.
Blood Rage, which is also the title of another movie that Steve introduced me to,
a.k.a. Yoo-Hoo Killer.
Yoo-Hoo Killer. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go and find the movie Blood Rage. What year was that one?
Was it 83?
Well, this one was 84, I think, so.
Oh, I think maybe that might have been earlier.
I think it may have been, too, because it, I mean, it looked like it was an older movie. But anyway, the reason why I first wanted to watch this movie in the first place is because Ted Raimi has a really blinking you'll missing performance at the very beginning of this movie, which takes place at a drive-in. He plays a condom salesman. And you may have heard me talk about this movie before on the Seductive Poison show, which I'm going to give a little plug to the Seductive Poison show. I know there have not been any episodes in quite a while, but the word is that Jenny and I are going to be doing a show this weekend if all goes according to plan. So Joe and whoever our other 3 to 5 listeners are can get excited about that, because we're going to try to make our triumphant return, and I'm also planning on getting the Seductive Poison website back up.
Nine.
So there'll be details about that coming soon. But back to the movie, Nightmare at Shadow Woods. Basically is a story of these twins that when they were younger, one brother kills a guy at a drive-in and then blames it on his twin. His twin gets sent away to the mental hospital. We move forward 10 years and the brother's still away in the asylum or mental hospital. And the other one that killed the guy is, you know, going to college and doing, you know, all the things his brother probably wishes he could do. And then he just, when he finds out his brother's escaped from the mental hospital, he, like, goes back to his maniac ways and starts killing people off and giving one-liners like, that's not cranberry sauce, because it takes place around Thanksgiving, so I guess that's why they had the cranberry sauce thing in there. But have you seen that Nightmare at Shadow Woods, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big fan of it. Mm. I mean, Blood Rage, let me see here. 1979, I believe.
Oh, okay. That sounds about right.
It was directed by Joe Zito.
I didn't realize that. That's interesting.
So, I mean, actually, no. I'm sorry. Let me double check. It says he's... Yeah, he did produce it. So he did this right before he did Prowler and Friday 13th Part 4.
So that's interesting.
I want to watch that again, Dana.
Well, I do too, at some point. But like I said before, I think Nightmare at Shadow Woods was under the title Blood Rage as well, but I think it's from 1984.
It said 87, but I don't
87?
Know.
87?
But I don't
Maybe know. It was filmed in 84 and didn't come out until 87.
That sounds more like it.
Because it does typically look like an 84, early 80s.
I actually have a remastered version on somewhere.
Of Nightmare in Shadow Woods?
Yeah.
I have a disc of it, a Legacy Entertainment disc, those super cheapo discs that came out. I don't know if they have any more Legacy discs out anymore. They put out a whole bunch of them. Like, they weren't real good transfers or anything of movies, but they did Sleepaway Camp and a bunch of other
stuff. Speaking of Sleepaway Camp, you see the cover?
Yeah, looks pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to be getting that Blu-ray when it comes out.
Everybody's socks are going to be really bright with their stripes on them.
Yeah, and the white camp shorts are going to be blinding white. Well, I'm looking forward to it in any event, but I will say one last thing about Nightmare at Shadow Woods. Other than Ted Raimi's performance, and Linnea sneezing over my talking here. But anyway, other than Ted Raimi's excellent performance at the beginning, and Steve probably doesn't even remember his performance. The other performance of note was by Mark Soper. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his last name right, but he's the one that plays Todd and Terry, the twins. And I thought he did a really great job for such a low budget, you know, crappy horror film. He seemed to take his role seriously, or his roles seriously, as playing the two very different brothers. And I was thinking he was on maybe a few other things, but I can't recall now what they were. Do you recall, Steve?
No.
And Louise Lasser is also on here, and she was on, I think she was on Crime Wave.
Mary Hartman.
Yeah. Something. But she's very kind of off kilter on this movie. There's one scene where she's drinking a bunch, and she plays the mother of the twins,
Woo-hoo!
By the way.
Drinking.
Yeah. And then she just has this kind of meltdown, and it's after Thanksgiving dinner, and she's sitting on the floor in her dress, but her boobs are almost hanging out. And let me tell you, Louise Lasser, maybe in her younger days she was, you know, hot or something. I don't know. But she doesn't look very hot. She looks like a kind of like a over-the-hill tramp on this movie, because her boobs are always almost hanging out of her dress.
Right.
And the one scene that I'm talking about, she's spread out on the floor with, like, she almost like she's doing the splits with the refrigerator door open, with bowls of the Thanksgiving dinner out in front of her, and she's dipping her hands in the green beans and eating them and stuff like that. It's just very
gross.
Well, yeah, gross, but bizarre too. But worth a watch, definitely. I would say it's better than both Terror at Teen Killer and Last Slumber Party. But definitely watch all three of them if you haven't seen them.
Yeah.
You need to.
Yeah.
You need to complete your movie watching experience, no matter what Steve says.
All
right. Does Steve have anything else he wants to talk about?
No.
He gets tired of hearing me talk.
No. No.
You want to talk about American Horror Story?
No, it's entertaining. That's all I could say.
So Steve says.
Yeah. But, getting the, RoboCop in soon, the format, 4K remaster.
Oh, you know, I found mine, by the way, my DVD. And it has a holographic cover on it.
Cool.
Yeah.
But, so.
This won't have that.
No, but it'll be, 4K.
Yeah, I know.
So, probably watch that next time. So, I think we'll end the show and try to keep warm.
Bye.
Bye. How do you feel about rape?
What do you think about rape?